101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Hey, listen, Truth Nation, you are officially tapped in. And tonight, it's not just about basketball. It's about something much bigger. When we think about greatness, we usually think about championships, statistics, highlights, and trophies. But eventually, the lights go off, the arenas are empty, and every athlete has to answer a different question. Who did you become after the applause? Tonight, we are joined by someone who understands that transition. From former NBA All-Star Larry Hughes has worn many jerseys throughout his career, but today he wears another title that may be even more important. A father, a mentor, a coach, and someone investing in the next generation. Tonight isn't about reliving the NBA. It's about asking whether former athletes have a responsibility to help save our communities and what it really takes to raise disciplined young men in a culture that often celebrates everything except discipline. Larry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
So I want to begin somewhere different, right? Oftentimes, I know typically when you sit down and have interviews, everyone goes over the accolades, in which we can also get into. But I want to begin somewhere a little bit different today. I want to talk about the legacy. I want to talk about the athletes. You know, we celebrate athletes for what they've accomplished on the court, the championship, all-star appearances, et cetera, et cetera. But I've been wondering lately if we should be judging athletes' legacy more on what they produce after the game versus what they do when they accomplish it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. Just because, you know, people understand, you know, obviously what you've done, you know, in the past, but they never forget, you know, how you make them feel and the impact that you can make.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why do you think we become more committed to developing athletes versus developing human beings?
I think it's the shine. I think how you are respected for the things that you've done, the attention that you get. I mean, we all love attention, right? We all love to be supported for the things that we've done, the amount of work that we put in. And it's hard to make it to this level. But at the same time, there's an impact that we all share because of those that don't necessarily make it. But our impact on, you know, the culture, the basketball community, your home community, the cities that you play in, I think that that's where the most benefit comes from. If I go back to these cities that I played in, you know, years later, it shows up, you know, my charitable contributions, you know, respecting people, those things go a long way, you know, in just your, you know, acceptance.
Absolutely. So watching your journey, I'm a huge sports fan. So I do come from the era of when you were playing, and I've seen your defense skills, which obviously takes a lot of discipline. And typically a lot of the youth today think, when they hear discipline, they think of punishment. I think discipline might actually just be another word for love. Is discipline something you can teach, or does it have to be modeled first?
Well, I think it's taught within accountability, because it takes discipline to create accountability where someone can count on you to do what you say you're going to do, be where you're supposed to be. And that's all about discipline. It's all about defense. But if you can be held accountable, if you can accept being held accountable, then I think discipline falls right in line with that. Because, you know, as a person, we don't like to disappoint. If someone puts, you know, expectations on us, right? We want to make sure that we can reach those expectations. A lot of times that comes with the discipline.
So you were born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'm from the Midwest as well. And I know that the Midwest is a little bit different than other parts of the country. What are some of the things that you've experienced as a youth prior to playing basketball that assisted you with the discipline you have today?
I think my upbringing, I was, you know, in a single parent household. You know, I watched how my mother worked. I watched how she provided, you know, the things that me and my younger brother, we needed. So it comes from there. It comes from the people that you see that are closest to you, that you start to learn, you know, what's going to have the most impact. Growing up, we didn't, you know, have all of the luxury things, but we had what we needed. So as you go into the professional life, you understand that, you know, the luxury things are nice, but essentially, you know, if you have the things that you need, you'll be fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you find it difficult? So I've been watching your son's journey as well. Do you find it difficult in this generation, not just with your son, but dealing with and teaching and coaching youth in general with the youth as it pertains to discipline? Is it a little bit more difficult to teach them discipline, or do you feel like it's the same when you were growing up?
I think the world is tough. I think when I was coming up, especially in my basketball journey, there were a number of educators that were involved in youth sports, you know, teachers, counselors, principals that were actually, you know, started the basketball organizations and basketball programs. Now it's a little bit different. It's more of a wide open landscape where if you have an opportunity, you know, anyone can start a program. But I think the foundation is started at home. If you're, you know, if you have a good, you know, home life, you're supported at home, it really makes it easier for me to implement and instruct and give you guidance, because you have that structure coming from home, and it's just a support from the outside space that really speaks to the same language that your parents or your guardian may be speaking. So it's more of an idea of giving, you know, just making sure that the messages are the same and consistent. And I think that that's the biggest part, is the things that the young people are hearing at home, it's up to us to make sure that the message is consistent. And that's why I think it makes the most impact.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. You are huge in the community. Last year, you received the iHeart Media Award for things that you've been doing inside of the community, but you've been doing this way before any accolades. Can you kind of tap into our listeners to let them know what it is that you do back at home, including the camps that you run with the youth as well?
Well, I'm a hometown kid, born and raised in St. Louis. This has always been home for me, even through the cities that I played in. I've always made my way back home, you know, in the summertime. And that's a benefit to me, because I get a chance to see young people that have grown up in the same areas, gone to the same schools, have some of the same similar relationships, where I can give credibility to some of those relationships. So it goes back to the point again, it starts at home. I really love the young people within our community, understand the challenges that they go through. So I've been there and done that. So me giving back to the community is very natural. The messages that I share with the young people are the same messages that I share with my four kids. So there's no difference in me wanting someone to be more successful than the other person. I'm just making sure that I provide, you know, knowledge, insight, information to help them be successful in whatever walk of life they choose, right? We don't all have to be professional basketball players. There's other things that are out there that you can make an impact, create a good life for yourself, be a good citizen, be a good person in your community as well. So we use basketball as that vehicle. And the motive behind that is three C's. It's court, classroom, and community, where we put an emphasis on those three things. Because that's not a focus on being a professional basketball player. That's not a focus on being a professional football player. That's focusing in on, you know, your schoolwork, because education can take you a long way. Making sure that you are a good person in your community, where you know, each one teaches one. And that's really the message that I preach, is that we can all be successful in whatever life that we choose. And I'm just using basketball as that vehicle to really, you know, help instill a lot of those life skills and character development that's necessary to be successful.
Absolutely. I am a huge fan of people who have, you know, become successful and go back home, because oftentimes the youth that's in those neighborhoods, they never get a chance to see you guys up close and personal. With you, you know, being homegrown and then going back home after retiring, how impactful from your own view has it been for you to show up for the youth?
I think it's huge. Just for the fact that they're young, and I've been retired, 14 years now, so they don't necessarily put two and two together. Obviously, you can Google and use YouTube and kind of check out my playing days. But the parents are kind of the motivation behind being able to give a good message, because they remember me. And they can point to me and say, hey, you know, this is a guy that made it. This is a person that you maybe want to listen to. So that helps bridge the gap, you know, with the community and the young people today, because these are young kids, right? They don't know any better. But it takes, you know, the older generation to really give them something to point to where they can follow the instruction.
Absolutely. And you said something so important, because I think a lot of times when we mix the generations, a lot of people assume that because it was so long ago compared to the youth who are in middle school, that they may not be aware. That does not relieve you of your duty to be a part of the community, right? So I'm glad that you mentioned that and that you continue to step up. We have NBA legend Larry Hughes live. We have to go to commercial break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Welcome back. We have NBA legend Larry Hughes joining us today. Hey, Larry, thank you so much for joining us. We are talking youth legacy, mentorship, and coaching. In today's society, everybody has an opinion about young people, but very few people actually take the time to spend with them. You've worked with millions and hundreds of youth, right? In your experience, what's the difference between a kid looking for attention versus a kid who desperately needs guidance?
Well, I think that's where the communication comes in. A lot of times we work in communities, we work in schools, we work in areas where we don't necessarily know what the young people are dealing with, whether it be things that are going on at home, you know, even down to the fact of did that kid have a meal, you know, before he started basketball training. And all of those things can affect your behavior. So I think I lead in with communication, being eye to eye contact, showing respect to the young people, but also giving them an authority figure that they can respect as well. I do think you should be firm, your communication direct, and also giving the young person an opportunity to tell you what they need or what they want. And then that opens up the lines of communication for you to really implement things that you want to get across to them. But I think it starts with respect and, you know, on both ends.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because when working with youth, I say it all the time as well. I try not to talk or speak at them, but I try and have conversations with them. And typically those type of youth are the ones who are labeled as troubled, that no one else wants to deal with. How often have you worked with youth of that nature where you simply noticed that they just wanted to be heard?
Often. I would say each week. You can identify a young person that needs a little bit more guidance, needs a little bit more attention, more conversation, because these things for these young kids change day to day. Again, we always say it goes back to their structure and what's going on at home, and that changes. That's a fluid situation. So we're eager to have those conversations, you know, each week. And make sure that we're on the same page going forward, because it's never a consistent, you know, way of life or consistent circumstances. Things are always changing, you know, for the young people. So we're always engaged and trying to give them the best advice and information possible, but we are never talking to a kid and then saying, oh, I can't handle him or her. No, that's not in our DNA. That's not what we do. So it's always an ongoing process to understand, the communication language between us and the young people.
Absolutely. And a lot of times youth act out for those reasons because they are not heard. And a lot of times they have the solutions, which is why we need to listen to them. They can actually provide us with information to help us take preventative measures to keep them out of trouble or keep them out of harm's way. And today's society, it seems as if we're more obsessed with reacting after tragedy, right? Do you think that this country spends more time reacting to broken young men rather than investing in them before they become broken?
Well, I think we've been built on like drama, bad things. I mean, these are the things that you see on our news stations, even down to, my area. Sometimes there's challenges to get a good story out because the negativity is really kind of what people follow or they want to see. So I do think that's a real thing, making sure that the positive message is heard before the negative things happen. But I don't think that that's anything directly, for my area. I think that that's something that the country deals with, like you stated. And I'm using basketball to kind of change that narrative, to give positive light, positive influence, where people want to follow a kid's journey that it may have started out rocky, but they're getting the tools, they're getting the value to be a productive person, in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What concerns you more today, young people lacking opportunity or young people lacking identity?
I think identity. I think there's a lot of opportunity out here. It's just how or who puts those opportunities in front of the young people. And the influence is crazy with social media and all of these different platforms that clickbaits and AI stuff where you don't know what's true or not. So I think the positive influence has to come from us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to take it a step further because I know that you are in mentorship as well, and that you're a mentor and that you do a lot of coaching. And oftentimes I have conversations with my friends about who supports the strong friend, right? And we always say when it comes to not just the youth, but just overall with our community, that it takes a village. But my question to you, as someone who has had some amazing mentors and who currently is an amazing mentor, who mentors the mentors?
I'd have a few from a business standpoint and also from just a life coaching, kind of understanding how the world works. Understanding how to position yourself to be successful, how to make sure that your message is heard, because sometimes it's not about who says the message, it's about what is in the message. And I use books a lot. Books are a history teacher. The things that we think have, has only happened once, they've happened numerous of times and they're documented. So I use those books to not only help me in the business space for leadership, but also mentorship, how to communicate with people, how to be an anchor in, different opportunities that you want to provide. So I really use, the education of books to really, formalize my thought process and my plans to execute.
Oftentimes people assume that mentorship means you have to go and get a certification or you have to have an LLC to officially become a mentor. For those listening who may be interested in guiding a young person, what advice do you have for them as it pertains to stepping out and just becoming a mentor?
Do you have meaningful experiences? And are you able to communicate those experiences? Because I think, people learn from others' experiences. But it's hard to learn from those experiences if you're not able to articulate the good and the bad from those experiences, the pros and the cons from those experiences. So what I would say to be a mentor is just having the ability to communicate. I think that that is huge.
What is your favorite thing about being a mentor? Not necessarily just with youth, but maybe adults too. But what is something that you truly enjoy when it comes to mentorship?
I think it's about the respect, because people come to you for knowledge or information because they respect you. If they didn't have the respect for the things that you've done, the things that you've accomplished, the things that you are a part of, you know, in to date, I don't think that they listen much. So for me, I think having the respect from someone approaching me to talk about, you know, certain experiences that they may have either gone through, things that they've seen, and ways that I can help them be better prepared either for that experience or, you know, while they're in that experience.
So one of the things that we deal with specifically in the city of Milwaukee when it comes to the youth is a lot of them don't want to, they're not willing to receive information that's provided to them by someone of a different generation because there's no correlation. We're never in the same room together. So for those who are of a different generation, what is the easiest way to approach a young man or a young lady to make them comfortable and make them feel like they have a safe space to where you can offer that mentorship?
The biggest skill and tool that you have is to listen. I mean, that comes first and foremost, is to listen. And we talk about this in our basketball programs, how important communication is. We want to teach the young people how important communication is, because then that allows them to tell us what they need, what they want, what they dislike. And then from there, we have that conversation about how we can help them, because we've gone through some of the similar experiences. And like I said before, history is the greatest teacher. The things that our young people are dealing with today, we dealt with those things maybe in a different sort of format, different circumstances. But I like to tell them, is nothing that you're going through is new. And how much we want to make it seem like this is only happening to me, that's not a fact. And it's very not true.
Absolutely.
So that's really the message, is like, we want to listen and then provide them with sort of experiences that we've had to kind of bring it all together and put that circle together.
I love that you mentioned that, because I was just talking about this on the show last week about how I come from a generation where my parents were very secretive. My family in general, it was like grown folks' business is grown folks' business. They did not want to tell us things that they've gone through. They'll say, I've been through this already. Just listen to me. But they never told us what it was that they've been through. So I think it's extremely important to highlight those experiences, as you mentioned, to the youth, so that it can become, you know, more relatable, which then assists with them, you know, possibly wanting to receive what it is that you have to say. Yeah. So big ups for that. We got Larry Hughes in the building. We got to go to break. Please do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We have NBA legend Larry Hughes on the line with us. Larry, thank you so much for joining us. We have been talking community, mentorship, coaching, but I want to tap into fatherhood and leave basketball alone just for a little bit. As a father, I watch you in your journey with your son. What is the hardest truth you've had to accept about raising him in today's culture?
Nothing really too bad. I'm pretty much locked into, you know, the basketball space and things of that nature. So it's really about connecting the two. I mean, he's a basketball player, so we relate a lot of the life skills, the character development. You know, my teaching to him is that basketball is a short part of your life. And after you're done with the game of basketball, there's a lot of years left. So really, you know, coaching him up on how to treat people, how to show up, how to be held accountable, you know, all of those man qualities that we need to hold on to be successful. So yeah, it's really a great experience. He's my only son, so that's always fun, right? I'm in a house full of women.
so
we
pressure.
Get a chance to hang out and have conversation. So it's been great, man. It's been great. I love every minute of it.
So with him being your only son, how do you prepare him? This is a loaded question because a lot of times, you know, and this is not the case with you, but a lot of times we see the father-son duo, and a lot of parents don't understand the difference between allowing them their children to have the pleasure of being themselves versus trying to put so much pressure on them to be who they were. How do you prepare your son to carry your name without carrying the pressure of the life that you've lived?
Well, I encourage him to use it as a gift. You know, I accomplished some things in my life. You know, so hopefully he uses those things as a catapult for him to be successful. He didn't have to play basketball. He was into other sports and into other things. But essentially I want him to use it to his advantage. There's obviously pressure. No matter what, I think that we can put a lot on it just because I play basketball, he plays basketball. But I think the son, you know, normally has just kind of built in sort of pressure to really take the legacy, take the name, take the family to the next level. And however he chooses to do that, I'm okay with, because I think he's been taught the right way. To put others first, again, be accountable, have self-discipline, all of those tools that people respect and are willing to follow you. I think that comes with whatever your name is, whatever age you are. If you can carry those principles, I think you'll be fine. And he's doing a really good job of doing that now.
Absolutely. We all see, just based off of the news and social media, how and personal experiences, how families are changing and fatherhood is changing. What conversations between fathers and sons have disappeared that you feel desperately needs to come back?
You know what? That's a good question. I think for me, it's about allowing, you know, with the tools that you provided your son, allowing them to stretch the limits, allowing them to explore, you know, what they want to get out of life, what opportunities they want to accomplish. And I think we learn from there. There's going to be some bumps in the roads. There's going to be some times where I'm going to allow my son to bump his head. But, you know, I have, you know, kind of the blueprint and some of the answers to that test, but they have to go through it. They have to live it. They have to experience it. So some of that is a little bit of give and take. But I think the message is making sure that people have respect for you and you're able to give respect. And I always tell my son is that you never get respect without giving respect.
Absolutely.
And I think that goes a long way.
So in today's culture, we know, especially with social media, that everything is microwave, right? Like a lot of the youth, they see things when it's completed, but not necessarily the process. You've, again, won Defense Player of the Year. You've had the opportunity of mentoring LeBron on the Cavaliers. You've held some pretty high status standards, right, for yourself. How do you teach your son how to be purpose-driven and not activity-driven, to where he's not so much focused on the accolades, but rather what aligns with him in his career?
Well, I've learned a lot of lessons. You know, I wasn't, you know, a kid that grew up with I had male figures that were impactful, but not necessarily in the household. So it wasn't a everyday sort of message to, you know, how to carry yourself, how to respect people, how to demand respect. And you said it. I mean, social media is like a highlight reel, right? It's the best of the best, but we know that there's negative and bad things that happen and go on, you know, all the time. So we're not going to shield them from that. We want them to experience the good and the bad, but quickly decipher between the two.
Absolutely.
And then start to use those experiences to now, you know, kind of operate in the space of, you know, respect, kindness, just being a good dude, you know, just when you walk in the room, people, you know, enjoy you being in the room. When you leave out of the room and people are wondering where you're at, I mean, those are the qualities I think that are positive.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not going to get on you too rough, but I do want to ask you this. I feel like it's something that a lot of people need to understand, because although we are fans of the game, a lot of us obviously has never played in the game. What is something that you've had to unlearn from your NBA career in order to become a better father?
It's hard work making it to the NBA. And I have young, my kids are grown and older now. But my work ethic, as far as to like what I knew and how to make it, it was intense. And like I said before, like you have to allow young people to figure out their own journey, how hard they want to work, how much they want to work. So I had to learn that. I had to learn that you have to take a step back, you know, allow people to be who they are. And then when there's adjustments that you can make, then you try to make those adjustments. So I think it being a little bit less intense when it comes to, I think when you set a goal, I had to learn that it's their goal.
Yes.
And I can help you reach that goal, but I can't put in the work to help you get to that goal, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have to ask you this, because I've dealt with this in the past with my ex-husband and my son. When he was playing ball, he played basketball. His dad was his coach. They lived in the same house. And he also taught at the school that he went to. How do you balance being around your son 24/7 and not just the home environment, but his career, to where it doesn't affect you guys' relationship?
Man, with all of my kids, I'm a dad first.
Absolutely.
The athletic things are great. They're fine. I want to be a part of it. I have great experience. I played at the highest level, just like a surgeon, right? Mm-hmm. You've gone to school and have learned all of these techniques. When we're talking basketball or just kind of sports and performance, I can raise my hand and say I know how to accomplish those goals. But I would much rather not create a conflict in the, you know, the coaching space of me being a coach, because I want my message heard more as a dad in home versus outside in the space on the basketball court or whatever sport. I would much rather prefer, you know, my statue to be, you know, from home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have NBA legend Larry Hughes. Do not touch that dial. We have to go to commercial break. Make sure you tap in 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We have NBA legend Larry Hughes on the line with us. Larry, thank you so much for joining us. We have been talking community, mentorship, coaching, but I want to tap into fatherhood and leave basketball alone just for a little bit. As a father, I watch you in your journey with your son. What is the hardest truth you've had to accept about raising him in today's culture?
Nothing really too bad. I'm pretty much locked into the basketball space and things of that nature. So it's really about connecting the two. I mean, he's a basketball player, so we relate a lot of the life skills, the character development. My teaching to him is that basketball is a short part of your life. And after you're done with the game of basketball, there's a lot of years left. So really, coaching him up on how to treat people, how to show up, how to be held accountable, all of those man qualities that we need to hold on to be successful. It's really a great experience. He's my only son, so that's always fun, right? I'm in a house full of women.
so we
get a chance to hang out and have conversation. It's been great, man. It's been great. I love every minute of it.
So with him being your only son, how do you prepare him? This is a loaded question because a lot of times, and this is not the case with you, but a lot of times we see the father-son duo, and a lot of parents don't understand the difference between allowing their children to have the pleasure of being themselves versus trying to put so much pressure on them to be who they were. How do you prepare your son to carry your name without carrying the pressure of the life that you've lived?
I encourage him to use it as a gift. I accomplished some things in my life. So hopefully he uses those things as a catapult for him to be successful. He didn't have to play basketball. He was into other sports and into other things. But essentially I want him to use it to his advantage. There's obviously pressure. No matter what, I think that we can put a lot on it just because I play basketball, he plays basketball. But I think the son, normally has just kind of built in sort of pressure to really take the legacy, take the name, take the family to the next level. And however he chooses to do that, I'm okay with, because I think he's been taught the right way. To put others first, again, be accountable, have self-discipline, all of those tools that people respect and are willing to follow you. I think that comes with whatever your name is, whatever age you are. If you can carry those principles, I think you'll be fine. And he's doing a really good job of doing that now.
Absolutely. We all see, just based off of the news and social media, how and personal experiences, how families are changing and fatherhood is changing. What conversations between fathers and sons have disappeared that you feel desperately needs to come back?
That's a good question. I think for me, it's about allowing, with the tools that you provided your son, allowing them to stretch the limits, allowing them to explore, what they want to get out of life, what opportunities they want to accomplish. And I think we learn from there. There's going to be some bumps in the roads. There's going to be some times where I'm going to allow my son to bump his head. But, I have, kind of the blueprint and some of the answers to that test, but they have to go through it. They have to live it. They have to experience it. So some of that is a little bit of give and take. But I think the message is making sure that people have respect for you and you're able to give respect. And I always tell my son is that you never get respect without giving respect.
Absolutely.
And I think that goes a long way.
So in today's culture, we know, especially with social media, that everything is microwave, right? Like a lot of the youth, they see things when it's completed, but not necessarily the process. You've, again, won Defense Player of the Year. You've had the opportunity of mentoring LeBron on the Cavaliers. You've held some pretty high status standards, right, for yourself. How do you teach your son how to be purpose driven and not activity driven, to where he's not so much focused on the accolades, but rather what aligns with him and his career.
Well, I've learned a lot of lessons. You know, I wasn't, you know, a kid that grew up with, you know, I had male figures that were impactful, but not necessarily in the household. So it wasn't a everyday sort of message to, you know, how to carry yourself, how to respect people, how to demand respect. And you said it, I mean, social media is like a highlight reel, right? It's the best of the best, but we know that there's negative and bad things that happen and go on, you know, all the time. So we're not going to shield them from that. We want them to experience the good and the bad, but quickly decipher between the two. And then start to use those experiences to now, you know, kind of operate in the space of, you know, respect, kindness, just being a good dude, you know, just when you walk in the room, people, you know, enjoy you being in the room. When you leave out of the room and people are wondering where you're at, I mean, those are the qualities I think that are positive.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not going to get on you too rough, but I do want to ask you this. I feel like it's something that a lot of people need to understand, because although we are fans of the game, a lot of us obviously has never played in the game. What is something that you've had to unlearn from your NBA career in order to become a better father?
It's hard work making it to the NBA. And I have young, you know, well, my kids are grown and older now. But my work ethic, as far as to like what I knew and how to make it, it was intense. And like I said before, like you have to allow young people to figure out their own journey, how hard they want to work, how much they want to work. So I had to learn that. I had to learn that you have to take a step back, you know, allow people to be who they are. And then when there's adjustments that you can make, then you try to make those adjustments. So I think it being a little bit less intense when it comes to, I think when you set a goal, I had to learn that it's their goal.
Yes.
And I can help you reach that goal, but I can't put in the work to help you get to that goal, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have to ask you this, because I've dealt with this in the past with my ex-husband and my son. When he was playing ball, he played basketball. His dad was his coach. They lived in the same house. And he also taught at the school that he went to. How do you balance being around your son 24/7 and not just the home environment, but his career, to where it doesn't affect you guys' relationship?
Man, with all of my kids, I'm a dad first.
Absolutely.
The athletic things are great. They're fine. I want to be a part of it. I have great experience. I played at the highest level. You know, just like a surgeon, right? Mm-hmm. Who've gone to school and have learned all of these techniques. When we're talking basketball or just kind of sports and performance, I can raise my hand and say I know how to accomplish those goals. But I would much rather not create a conflict in the, you know, the coaching space of me being a coach, because I want my message heard more as a dad in home versus outside in the space on the basketball court or whatever sport. I would much rather prefer, you know, my statue to be, you know, from home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have NBA legend Larry Hughes. Do not touch that dial. We have to go to commercial break. Make sure you tap in 101.7 The Truth.